Chapter 1. Begin coded transmission.
I trust you're enjoying your newfound freedom, Mr. Singravel. I have arranged for your release to go unnoticed by certain individuals, and I now expect you to fulfill your end of the bargain. I require you to procure several manuals on golem crafting. Additionally, you will provide me with any and all information about the various groups that monitor paranormal activity in Boston, including details on any persons of particular note. Send these updates via this secure channel, but do not expect further contact from me. I will be incommunicado while I attend to some pressing matters. I should not need to remind you that failing to perform adequately will lead to punishments much worse than imprisonment in Ashgate. However, should you prove unsuccessful, I am confident I can find other ways for you to serve me. Your predecessor's soul was used to fuel the ritual that ensured your release.
R.M. End coded transmission. Sunrises were beautiful here on the bright side, the realm of the Fae, and today's sunrise would have been gorgeous if it weren't for the advancing enemy army, the erupting volcano, and the earthquakes. Instead of a cool dawn with sparkling dew and a gentle breeze, a heat haze shimmered in the air. When the winds gusted, it was like a sandstorm of ash. The tremors, which were coming more frequently, toppled people and structures to the ground. I'm sure the enemy leaders felt smug. After all, it was their mages who were tampering with the environment. Their army, 100,000 strong, was 3 times larger than the entire population of the Orisk city they were advancing on. And the Orisk themselves rarely caused any trouble. They were known for their hospitality, their friendliness, and their desire for harmony. To a group of warmongers, that's like holding up a sign that says, "Please conquer us." I wondered what the enemy generals thought as they surveyed the battlefield. The Orisk didn't have an army. Instead, about 5,000 of them knelt on the ground, their feather-topped heads bowed, flecks of ash settling on their dull gray skin. Perhaps they thought the Orisk planned to beg for mercy. Perhaps the generals thought the Orisk were praying for some imaginary god to swoop in and save them. In either case, the generals would be wrong. The Orisk aren't begging for mercy, and they aren't praying to an imaginary god. They're praying to me. Now, pardon me for a moment. I have some swooping and saving to do. I stepped out among my followers and focused. Their heads turned toward me, expressions of hope on their faces. Their almond eyes, whether orange or green, glowed with anticipation. I could feel their faith in me, and the power that faith gave me swelled. I felt like I could do anything and everything. Save the people, drive off the army, and repair the land. I grinned, cracked my knuckles, and concentrated on the lava that was rolling in a great red river toward the city. When I'd prepared for today, Commander Courageous had told me I had 2 goals. 1, bolster my followers' faith by letting them see me protect them. I pointed at the lava and, in a power-amplified voice, commanded, "Stop!" The lava obeyed. I threw my arm out to the side, and the lava steamed, cooled, and turned to solid rock. A gust of ash and grit blasted across the gathering of my followers. I threw my other arm out to the side and shouted, "Enough!" The wind died immediately, and the ash vanished from the air. The Orisk's faith in me increased, and that gave me more power. Having faith in your god is one thing. Personally, witnessing that god controlling the weather and landscape tends to make even the most skeptical individual a believer, and it turns a believer into a zealot. My power increased accordingly. With the Orisk out of danger from the elements, I concentrated on the army. My senses were amplified so that even at this distance of 3 miles, I could clearly hear the murmurings and confusion of the mages. They'd never seen anything like what I'd just done. Then again, I'd bet they'd never fought a god before. And that brought me to my 2nd goal for today. Spank the enemy and spank them hard. I had no desire to get up close and personal with the army. The soldiers were hobgoblins and trolls, and even from this distance, they smelled awful.